here, and we thank God for what he's doing here and in all the churches. I'm standing here just to testify to the goodness of the Lord in our church. Last week we had two baptisms here, and all to the glory of God. The night shelter started in the Cardiff churches, and we're part of it. And not to us, not to anyone, not of anything we've done, but it's just to the glory of God. It started, and we saw that last week, the two people that got baptized, Zach and a lovely lady, Vicky, it was, came all from the night shelter. And one of the testimonies there last week was that the lady said she saw Christ, she saw something different, and that, the Lord touched her heart through that. And when we lift Jesus up, it says it will draw all men to him. And we thank God because, men has been drawn up to him through the night shelter. And we praise God. We thank him for everything. And to him be all the glory.
When he looks at me, he looks slightly scared. I'm not quite sure why. It's okay. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. Don't be concerned, okay? I'm not Channing Tatum, for those of you who know who he is. Somebody in this very room once described me as looking like the double of Channing Tatum, and I don't look like him. For those of you who don't know, I'm not going to show you his picture. You're going to have to Google it. I mean, feel free to do that now. But somebody once said I look like him, and it's not true. It's not true, apart from the body, maybe. But sometimes we can have a case of mistaken identity, can't we, when we look at somebody. They're called doppelgangers. There's a German word for it as well somewhere. And I thought this morning we'd start by looking at some doppelgangers. You may have noticed on as part of our worship team this morning, we had this person playing guitar. Does anybody know who am I talking about? Let's all just point at him. Over there, stand up for us, Ashley. Do you think that looks like Ashley? Yeah. Well, no, I mean, hands up if you don't think it looks like Ashley. See, you're wrong. But no, that's actually Sarah Jessica Parker. It is actually her, and it does look like Ashley. It does, though, doesn't it? You would have thought that they were doubles. What about this person here, then? Who's this? It's me, isn't it? It's not, though. It's not me. This, I've only got two of these. Don't get carried away, okay? This is the last one. This is Bryn Terfel, the Welsh, is he a tenor or something like that? You can see why we look the same, can't you? I mean, there's me and Bryn. But sometimes we see in a picture something which isn't there. It's not what we first thought that we saw. I'm not Bryn Terfel. I'm not Channing Tatum. I'm not Martin Clunes. People say that I look like him as well. I don't mention the ears. I am, in fact, Mike Thomas. I live in, for those of you who don't know me, I live in Rumney. I work in Llanrumney and Rumney and all over CF3. And my job description is that I work to see lives transformed and communities restored through Christ-centered mission. And that is why I'm really excited about what's going to happen over the next week. We have got the Love CF3 Festival, and the whole purpose of it is to tell people the good news about Jesus Christ. The good news about Jesus Christ. Sometimes when people look at Christians, when people look at the church, when people look at the person of Jesus, they see something or someone that is not really there. I don't know if you've seen this picture before. It's a young lady, but it's also, thank you for being honest, it's a young lady, but also an old woman. Can anybody see the two people? Yeah, for those of you who are struggling, there's an eye here for the old lady. There's her nose, look, and there's her mouth. And then for the young person, she says that she has the same eye. There's the nose, and the mouth is round the back, but that's her chin. Can you see that? Sometimes when we look, no, I'll leave it up there for a little bit. If you're looking like this, I know you're not listening to me. You're just looking at the picture. Yeah, carry on. Okay, I can see some people. The light is switching on. That's great. But sometimes when we look at something, it's actually different to what we first see. And guys, I want to say this morning is that you might have an opinion of Jesus. You might have an opinion of the church. You might have an opinion of some Christians who actually, it's not the right opinion. And you need to look again at Jesus. You need to look again at the church. Maybe not quite look again at some Christians because we're not perfect, are we? But we need to look again at Jesus and see who is he really. In fact, Jesus asked that very question when he was on earth. He said, who do you say that I am? And I would say to you that that is probably the most important question that you will ever answer. And answer it you must. There's no sitting on the fence, is there? Who do you say that I am? Who do you think that Jesus is? You know, when I was young, a new family moved into my street. And I remember going out on a Saturday and playing with the new family from the street. There was a guy there, and his name was Brian. And he was about the same age as me. And he convinced me that he was actually a robot from Mars. All afternoon, he would convince me, he would say, this is what my family's job is, we've come to take over the world. And I remember going to bed that night, absolutely terrified that he was going to come into my house as a robot, and he was going to... People are looking really confused, I'm sorry if you've not heard me preach before. And that he was going to take over the world, starting in my house with my family, and he was going to assimilate us into robots and stuff. And as I lay there, absolutely terrified, it slowly began to dawn on me that if there were Martians on Mars, and they did build robots to take over the Earth, they would probably look very, very different from Brian, who was about half my size and probably couldn't even topple me, let alone a whole army or world. But we can have mistaken identities, can't we? When we meet somebody for the first time or when we meet people for the 100th time. There was a girl called Vicky who started coming to our church once. And at the time, Clive Cornish, some of you might know him, was coming to the church as well as Paul, who was playing the bass in the band today. And she actually never saw them in the same room together. She thought that they were the same person up until about the 15th time that she'd been speaking to them. That's a true story. She's very, very embarrassed about it. But you know, even when we've seen people for a few times, or maybe 10 times or 15 times, it can still be a case of mistaken identity. And so this morning, very quickly, I want to answer this question. I want you to answer this question. Who do you believe? Who do you believe that Jesus is? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Does it matter what you believe about him? You know, many people will tell us, if you believe certain things, that makes you intolerant. Others will say, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you do believe. But instead of seeking man's opinion this morning, instead of looking at what other people say, I want to answer this question with what Jesus had to say about the subject. Let's look at the Bible, Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16. And This is Jesus. This is the story of Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter. Always the first one to talk, isn't he? He replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who Peter said that he was. Now, let me just give you a little bit of context for this. Two chapters ago, right, John the Baptist had just been beheaded. People knew that John the Baptist and Jesus were alive at the same time. Some people said, Jesus, you are John the Baptist. I don't understand how some people can be so silly I don't know about you. That's the first thing I thought of when I read this. But people were saying that Jesus was a good man. That was the point. Jesus was nearing the end of his ministry. His mind at this point would have been fixed on the cross. It would have been fixed on the purpose, the reason why he'd come to earth. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, just in the chapter before, in Matthew chapter 15, had just demanded signs from him to prove who he was. And yet just before that, Jesus had fed 4,000 people just from 7 loaves and a few small fish. And it comes to the point where he'd spent almost 3 years with the disciples, and he wanted to know this. Who do you say that I am? You know, Jesus began with an easy question, didn't he? Who do other people say that I am? And after questioning people, the disciples, about other people's beliefs, he moved on to the question about their own beliefs. He said, but you, who do you say that I am? And this question, and the answer to this question, matters and mattered to Jesus. Now, there are some things that you will find in life that don't matter. Some facts and figures and information that you don't need to know. It's not a matter of life or death. People might ask you, could you tell me all of the names of the kings and queens of England? And you might go, I can name about one, Elizabeth, that's her name. It doesn't matter if we know those things or not. If you ask my son James, he will sing all of the names of the kings and queens of England to you, thanks to the brilliant Horrible Histories. But, you know, he knows them, but it doesn't matter that I don't know them or you don't know them. It doesn't matter that you can't name the chemical makeup of water. Lots of you probably can. What does matter is that we can drink the stuff to stay alive. It doesn't matter if you know the workings of the inside of a computer. But so many of us in our jobs, we use them, don't we? That's what matters. However, from this passage, what we learn is that it's essential that you understand the identity of Jesus. If we look at our text, if we look at what we read from the Bible, we discover that it is important what you believe about Jesus. And this morning I want to share some very important truths from that text. First of all this, it is possible to be close, but to be wrong about Jesus. You know, if you're playing golf, now I grew up on a golf course, not playing golf. We would go over and climb trees and generally annoy the golfers as our house kind of backed onto the golf course in Caerphilly there. But you know, so often you would see these golfers and they would tee off and they would hit the ball and it would land on the green and it would be maybe this close to the hole. Have they got a hole in one? No. They're so close, but they're so far away, it doesn't count. You can be close, but wrong. If you're playing a musical instrument like our band so excellently did this morning, but you're a tone or a semitone out on a note, does it sound right? No, it's wrong, isn't it? If a boy stops 1 inch from his girl's face, does it count as a kiss? No, it doesn't, does it? It's not the same. Just being close in your opinion of Jesus does not count. I heard a story once about Karl Barth. He's a famous theologian. And he was in a horse and carriage one day on the streets of Basel in Switzerland where he lectured. And a tourist climbed in and sat down next to Barth. And the two men started chatting to each other. Are you new to the city? Barth inquired. Well, yes, I am, said the tourist. Is there anything in particular you'd like to see in the city? Asked Barth. Yes, I'd love to meet the theologian, Karl Barth. Huh, do you know him? Barth replied. Well, as a matter of fact, I do. I give him a shave every morning. You know, the tourist got out of the horse and cart quite delighted. He went back to his hotel saying to himself, I met Karl Barth's barber today. The tourist missed the point. He was so close, but yet so far away from who he wanted to meet. You know, and in the text that we read this morning, we discover that there are people who are sometimes wrong about Jesus. The people in Jesus' day, they had lots of worthy opinions about him. They compared him to John the Baptist, to Elijah, to Jeremiah. They were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. They were close, but they were wrong. We're gonna have a little break to play a game, because it's a family service and I can get away with stuff like this. I gave you a piece of paper. If you've got a pen, feel free to use it. If not, make paper aeroplanes, okay, at this point. There are 20 pictures on the screen, okay? You have to name 20 of them. You can work in little groups. However, you have 3 minutes. 3 minutes to do this activity, okay? I'm not going to sing or play any music. Feel free to chat. Commercial break. 3 minutes. On your marks, get set, go. Okay, stop the clocks. I'm not going to take the pictures off so you can still answer. Let's very quickly go through the answers then. We'll have a little cheer from those of you who got 8 of them right. There are no prizes, I'm afraid. I know, the echo budget didn't stretch to it, so I'm awfully sorry. I did put a request into Dave, but he said no, so blame him, not me. Okay, number one is a pencil. Yeah. Excellent. Number two, a key. Number three, a stapler. See. And number four, I'm not quite sure what one is, but it says on my list it's an electrical outlet. Did you get that? You didn't. Hush. Oh, terrible. Number five, a toothbrush. It's a toothbrush. It's easy, that one. Okay, number six, a light bulb filament. Number seven, well done, Dad. Number seven, stop sign. Yeah. Number eight, a coat hanger. Number nine, a watch. Yeah, that was an easy one, wasn't it? Number 10, a button. Number 11, a fork. Number 12, a piece of Lego. Yeah, you see it now, don't you? What are we on? 13, a skull. 14, a tire pressure gauge. Yeah, difficult one. 15, a stethoscope. 16, a paperclip. 17, a guitar. Number 18, a zip. Number 19, a drawing pin, a thumbtack, whatever you want to call them. And number 20, a tambourine. Yeah, it's a tambourine. There they are. There's the answers. Look, I wasn't cheating at all. You know, guys, you can be close, but sometimes you can be wrong. You know, when I went to university down in Southampton for a whole 4 months before I dropped out. Yes, I did. And I was studying theology and everything. However, one of the reasons why I dropped out, well, one was because I didn't go to many lectures. But the second reason was that one of the lectures I did go to, I remember it was one of the first lectures I went to. And the guy stood there and he said, "This book," and he was holding up a copy of the Bible, he said, "This book is fiction." Studying theology, you know, this guy, this doctor of theology, spent all of his days looking at the Bible, looking at the Word of God, and he turned around and he said, "It is fiction, and we're just studying it because it's a good book." Guys, it is not fiction. This is the truth. This is the Word of God. Some people can be so close to the Bible but not realize who Jesus is. You know, there's a saying in the army that says this: close does not count except with hand grenades. If you're near a hand grenade when it explodes, it's going to kill you. Close counts in some parts of life, but does not count in your opinion of Jesus. There is a right and a wrong answer about Jesus. there is a right and a wrong answer about Jesus. Know that this morning. You know, Simon Peter, he gave a right answer concerning who Jesus was. He turned round to Jesus and he said this, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus was pleased with Peter's response. He passed the test. Peter's confession revealed several things that Jesus was looking for. First of all, this. His confession revealed that he believed Jesus is the only way to God. The word Christ refers to the Messiah, the promised one of the Old Testament, who would deliver men from their sins and bring them access to God. Peter says, that is who you are. Second of all, his confession revealed that he believed that Jesus was and is God. You know, those are the bedrocks of the Christian faith. Jesus is the only means of access to God. Jesus is the only Son of God. He is totally God. He is the right answer to the divine quiz. There is no other answer. You know, some people believe that Jesus was just a good man. He was a moral teacher, or maybe even a prophet sent from God. However, I don't think that Jesus left this option open to us. You know, C.S. Lewis, famous author, this is what he wrote, and I love this, but listen to the words. He says this, "I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing that we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell himself. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him or kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with a patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he did not intend to." That is what C.S. Lewis said. He said Jesus was either a liar, or he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. That's the options that we have. Was Jesus a liar? Was he a lunatic? Is he Lord? Yes, he is. And the question we've got to answer again this morning is, who do you say that I am? You know, guys, we live in a postmodern society, or maybe a post-postmodern society, if you're keeping up with it. I'm not. But it's a society that says, it's okay for you to believe what you want to believe as long as you're not hurting somebody else. You've heard that said. That's what people say. You try and talk to them about Jesus, about the truth, and they go, it's okay, you believe that. I'm happy to believe what I want to believe because it doesn't hurt anyone. In today's society, in postmodern society, we turn and we say, there is no absolute truth. But guys, I want to say this morning that the Bible says that there are absolute truths. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. What did Jesus say about the way? He said this. He said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Doesn't sound like a great moral teacher to me if he's lying. Jesus says, "I am the way." That's who Jesus says he is. Who do you say Jesus is? It's important that we understand this morning who Jesus is. Otherwise, we're not going to get to the Father. Otherwise, we're not going to get to heaven when we die. You can't sit on the fence. It's time for a decision. Do you believe the claims of Jesus as Lord, or do you think that he's a liar or a lunatic? You know, the Bible also says about God's great love for us. In this famous verse, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Guys, that is the reason why Jesus came. That is who Jesus is. He is the Son of God who came and he died on the cross for your sins. It's for us, because God loves us, because God loves you. He has done everything possible for our relationship to be right with him. And now it's your turn for your response to his love. Who do you say Jesus is this morning? Let me finish with a story. Max Lucado, a famous Christian author, tells us a story about a girl called Christina. She lives in a small dusty village in Brazil and she is bored. She feels like her strict parents have cheated her out of the joys of life, and she longs for the excitement of the big city of Rio de Janeiro. One morning, her mother Maria finds Christina's bed empty. And Maria knew immediately where her daughter had gone. So she quickly throws some clothes into a bag and she gathers up all of her money and heads for the bus station. On her way, the mum enters one of those photograph booths in a local pharmacy and takes pictures of herself. She puts the pictures in her purse and takes the next bus to Rio. She puts up pictures of herself all over town, but she can't find her daughter. The weary mother gets back on the bus and weeps all the way home. Months later, Christina slowly walks down the hotel stairs. She's already worn down by life. Her young face is tired. Her brown eyes no longer dance with youth, but speak of pain and fear. 1,000 times over, she has longed to go back home. She remembered the warm, secure feeling of love and acceptance she had experienced back with her mum in her little village. But she thought it was too late to turn back. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes noticed a familiar face, and she looked again, and there on the lobby mirror was a small picture of her mother. Christina's eyes burned and her throat tightened as she walked across the room and removed the small photo, and written on the back were these words: "Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home." And she did. Christina's mum pulled out all of the stops to get her child to come back home. And this is exactly what God has done for you. It's not his will for anyone here in this room to perish. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Please come back to Jesus. And so, time to answer that question this morning. Who do you say that I am? Let's bow our heads. You know, as I said earlier, the question that we're asking this morning demands a response. Who do you say that Jesus is? Maybe this morning you once ran well in your faith, but you've stumbled and fallen and you need to come back and say, "Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life again." Maybe this morning you thought that you were a Christian. You thought coming to church or reading your Bible or being a good person makes you a follower of Jesus. And you've just been challenged by God to say, "I want to be Lord of your life." Maybe this morning is the time for you to give your life to Jesus and to say, "Lord, you are not a liar. You are not a lunatic. You are Lord of my life." You know, the gift of salvation, free gift of salvation, is available to everyone. Jesus loves you and wants you to come home to the Father. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your great love for us. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus as a demonstration of your love for us. And this morning, as your Holy Spirit has challenged us to respond to the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Father, I pray that you would give us the faith and the courage to stand up and to say, "Jesus is Lord of my life." Father, I thank you that you want us to be part of your family, and you have done everything possible. Father, I pray that you would give us the faith that we need to respond to you and to say, you are Lord. You are Lord of my life. You are Lord of my house, of my community, of my city, of my nation, Lord of this world. You are Lord. So, Father, I pray that you would give us the strength we need to walk in that. Lord, that you would give us the strength we need to stand up and to say to our friends, we have given our lives to Jesus. Lord, help us as the church to do that. Help us as individuals to do that. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I always say that the message of the gospel demands a response. And if you wanted to speak to me about anything, if you're not sure what giving your life to Jesus is, if you want to pray with somebody, then I'll be stood at the back at the end of the service. Please do come and speak to me. Speak to one of the church leaders from your church. But let's get it right. Let's make Jesus Lord this morning.